Full songs this morning about friendship. Didn't know we had so many songs about friendship, but we sing a lot about friendship. Our friendship with one another and the Lord's friendship with us. That was quite enjoyable. And dear friends, it is good to be home with you. Missed you last week, but I bring you greetings from your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that live in Arizona. And you can be encouraged by the fact that God is quite alive and well and working in people's lives there in the Phoenix area, in the Mesa area. And I bring you great blessings and some well wishes from them as well. And it is also good to have heard so many things about the good work that Philip has done last week. And that just thrills my heart to hear that Spring Creek is doing well when I'm gone. Nothing makes me happier than to hear that. And so I was certainly glad for the good work that Philip did with you. I hope you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15 as we talk about friendship this morning. And one of the reasons we're doing this is because this week, in our effort to read and live what we read, we're reading about what the Bible teaches about friendship. And I'd like for us to turn that in, that knowledge, into action. And this lesson is a part of doing that. You know, someone has said that God gives us our relatives, but thankfully, we get to choose our friends. And there's a little bit of truth to that. But then again, I believe that God gives us our friends as well. And I think God has given me some great friends. But the best friend that we can have is Jesus Christ. And I hope that this morning you can call Jesus your friend. But you know, you may have the privilege of choosing your friends, but I can tell you that you did not choose Jesus Christ to be your friend. He chose to be your friend while you were still his enemy. There was no better way to destroy an enemy than for Jesus to make you his friend. And Jesus is the best friend you'll ever know, and he is the best model of friendship we'll ever see. And one of the best passages that talks about the friendship of Jesus is found in John chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. For no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." At the center of this section is what Jesus has to say about friendship. Jesus says, "You are my friends, I have called you my friends, and I lay down my life for my friends." And this is an absolutely amazing text that talks to us about how Jesus is willing to be our friends. And I want you to be staggered by that for a moment. Here is the sinless Son of God. Here is the Creator of the universe. Here is the King of kings who is willing to humble himself and say to you and me, "I want to be your friend." That's astounding. And the reason he can do that is because the basis of friendship is love. Love is found 9 times in this text. And what Jesus is teaching us is that true friendship is not based upon compatibility quotients. It's not based upon what we have in common. The basis of true friendship is love. Wanting what is best for the other person. And Jesus calls us His friend, not because we are so much like Him, because we're not, in holiness or power or any other way you can conceive. He calls us friend, not because we can do so much for Him. He calls us friend because He loves us. Love is the basis of friendship. I read about a man who was caught in a voting scandal. And so investigators talked to the man about why he voted the way that he did. And he said, "Well, I voted for that candidate because I like him." And the investigator said, "Oh, come on. We have evidence that he paid you $50 right before you voted." And he said, "Well, sure. I liked him because he gave me $50. And that's how most of the people in this world choose their friends. We choose friends based upon what they can give us. And so who in the world would go and choose the ugly? Who would choose the undeserving? Who would choose the difficult to be their friend? Jesus did. Because the basis of friendship is love. And that's why people were so astonished at Jesus' life. They would say, for example, on one occasion, He makes Himself, He says, to be a friend to tax collectors and sinners. Who would do that? That's because friendship, true friendship, is not a popularity contest where we choose the prettiest people and the wealthiest people and the easiest people to be around, and we choose them as friends. That's just called selfish living. Friendship is based upon love. And what that means, brothers and sisters, and here's the great thing. That means that there is no shortage of friends. A lot of people say, "Well, I just don't have many friends." And usually say that because they're looking for somebody that likes what they like and does what they do and looks the way they look. And so they have a very shortage of friends. Yes, there's very few people that are strange as you in this world. But there are all kinds of people to love in this world. And love is the basis of friendship. And that means that there is no shortage of friends. And Jesus teaches us in this text that the focus of our loving friendships need to begin in the family of God. As the song we sing says, make friends of God's children. Or as Jesus put it twice in this text, these things I command you, that you love one another. If we call ourselves a friend of Jesus, then we are to be a friend to the people of God. In fact, you cannot be a friend of Jesus and separate yourself from the people of God. And so I'd ask you this morning just to look at your own life and ask yourself this question. Are my dearest friends the people of God? Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And we usually talk about that with regard to marriage, and that may be an application of it. But the point of that text is, dear Corinthians, you have made yourself friends with people who do not value and put a priority on God. Do not choose as your most intimate companions people who have worldly philosophies, mindsets, and lives. As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. We are friends in God's church. Not because these are the people who do the most for us, or these are the prettiest people and you're not bad looking, or these are the wealthiest people and these are the nicest people. We choose to be friends in Jesus Christ because God has commanded us to love one another just as He has loved us. Friendship begins with love. Or as Paul would write in Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate towards one another with brotherly love. And in honor, give preference to one another. That's the basis of friendship. One of my favorite texts in this regard is found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and says this, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I love that statement. Just imagine, here is God. He is going to write a letter to the Spring Creek church. And so he has one of his apostles sit down to write this letter. And it says, to the church at Spring Creek, I usually write concerning doctrinal matters, and I will do that. And I often write concerning worship issues and about morality concerns, and I will write you concerning that. And in my letters, I always write about the importance of having brotherly love for one another. But there's no need for me to do that in my letter to you, because you all already know that. And in fact, you're practicing it quite well. Could God write a letter like that to you? You see, the basis of friendship is love. And where there is a church filled with love, and where there are believers filled with love for one another, that's a place and that's a person that Jesus can find a friend in. And so the basis of friendship is love. But what does loving friendship look like? Jesus in this text gives us a wonderful illustration of what loving friendship looks like. And I found at least six characteristics of friendship that are modeled so wonderfully by our Lord. And the first one is that friendship is expressed in terms of faithfulness to one another. Jesus, throughout this chapter, uses words like abide and remain because they describe His faithfulness to God and to the people of God. And Jesus demonstrated His friendship to us by His faithfulness to us. In verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. You know, some friends come and go, but not Jesus. Jesus is always going to be faithful to His friends. It's a wonderful story that I read about two soldiers that were in battle during World War I. They were the best of friends. They grew up in the same small town. They went to boot camp together, and they both were assigned to France, where they found themselves in a trench during World War I. When a skirmish broke out and one of the friends was caught in the crossfire and he was mortally wounded. His other friend leapt out of the trench to go get him. When the sergeant grabbed him and pulled him back into the trench and said, you're crazy, don't do it, you'll get killed yourself. The sergeant turned and went to do something else, and the friend jumped out of the trench and he went to go get his dying friend out in the battlefield. He grabbed him, and in the process of pulling him back into the trench, he himself was shot several times. And as they both made it back into the trench, he barely alive and his friend now dead, the sergeant said to him, why? Tell me, how in the world was that worth it? He's dead and you're dying. And the guy said, it was worth it. Because his last words were to me, Jim, I knew you'd come. That's a friend. And that's the friend that Jesus was to us. He didn't have to come. And He came because He so loved the world that He died for us. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves, listen, at all times, and a brother is born for times of adversity. That's faithfulness. And that's what Jesus is modeling for us here. He is a friend to the end. And what that means is that I'm going to be your friend and you're going to be my friend when we don't feel like it. And when we don't deserve it. Because we can count on each other. Friendship is illustrated, it is expressed in faithfulness to each other. But not only that, Jesus also models the truth that friendship involves fruitfulness as well. In other words, Jesus' friendship was not just about words. It was about actions. And Jesus' friendship towards us produced in us a great number of blessings. In this text alone, His friendship allows us to have full joy. It allows us to have life. His friendship allows us access to the Father and many, many other things. Jesus' friendship with us brought blessings. It brought fruitfulness to our lives. And then Jesus says in verse 16, this is why I call you friends. You did not choose me, He says, verse 16, but I chose you. You're my friend because I chose you. Now, what do my friends do? I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. In this text, Jesus tells us why He chose us to be friends. He chose us to be His friends so that we could bring fruitfulness into this world. And especially things that would bring spiritual blessings into the lives of others. You know, sometimes we bemoan the fact that we don't have many friends. And then we look through our week and ask ourselves, what did I do this week to bring blessing and spiritual edification into the life of somebody else? And then we think about that and we say, not much at all. And the answer is, the result is, that's why we don't have many friends. Because friendship is rooted in love. And what love does is it is faithful to others, and it's faithful in actually bringing about blessings into the lives of others, and especially spiritual edification and growth and strength and blessings into the life of other people. Because that's what friends do. Proverbs 18 and verse 24 contains a very special statement about friendship. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And sometimes what we realize is we're missing one of the elements of friendship. And that's why we struggle with our friends. But notice the exciting end of verse 16. In verse 16, He says that we should go and we should bear fruit as the friends of Jesus, and our fruit will remain. He's talking here about a life that is meaningful, that is significant, that has purpose. There's a lot of things that we do in our life that are just about providing pleasure to ourselves. Or about doing things that don't have any kind of eternal significance. But what He says here is if as friends of Jesus we're actually out there bearing fruit, then that fruit that we are bearing is going to be eternally significant. As the couplet goes, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what is done for Christ will last. Every time we invest ourselves in loving one another as Christ has loved us, and being the kind of friend that Jesus has modeled for us to be, then that work, that effort, has eternal significance. I've seen that this last week, where there's a man in the Mesa area who was befriended by one of the members of the church there, and in the process of that friendship began to share with him his faith and the truth of the gospel. And the man came to learn about that and became, and as a result, is saved. And through him, several others now have been saved. And the result of all of that is that a fruit has grown that's going to last for eternity. Well, that's a good friend. A friend is someone who loves faithfully and fruitfully. And a friend is also a person who's going to talk to you, that's going to communicate. Notice verse 15, Jesus says, "This is the reason I call you friends." Verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends." Why? "For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." The reason Jesus calls us friends in that verse is because He talks to us and He tells us about His life and about His purposes and about His plans. And if we do not care enough to inform people, to talk about our thoughts and our plans and our needs, then we're going to have to be content with surface relationships. If you're going to be a friend like Jesus, you have to be willing to share your heart and your purposes and your life with others. Otherwise, it's simply going to be a surface relationship. And if you're going to be a friend to Jesus Christ, you need to communicate with Him. As He says in this text, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So friendship with Jesus requires listening to what He has to say to us in His Word. And then He goes down in verse 16 and says that because you're my friends, you can talk to the Father and He will give you whatever you ask. And so you listen to God's Word and do what it says, and then you talk to God about what you need to accomplish that, and what do you have? Communication. And where there is that communication, there's friendship. There can be no real friendship without communication. That's true where we work, and that's true where we live, and the marriages that we have, and the children we're trying to raise, and the brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we worship and serve our God. It takes communication. And another essential quality of friendship that Jesus models so perfectly is a quality that we must possess for any friendship to last very long. And that is the ability to forgive one another. I love this truth. There are a lot of people that don't have long friendships because they have short tempers. If we're going to have friendships for any length of time, we've got to learn to forgive one another. Jesus said in verse 16, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Now you read that and you might think, well, Jesus is laying down his life for people that have been good to him, that have been nice, that he loves, that he cares for. Yes, but those people had not been good to him. The people he's calling friends in this text are the people who have sinned against him, who've made themselves enemies of God, who are going to crucify him and say all kinds of manner of bad things about him. They're folks like us who need God's forgiveness. That's who He died for. That's who He calls friends. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to have friends, we've got to learn to forgive like that. When somebody said something bad about me, when somebody said something or did something bad to me. Job said this in Job 16 and verse 19. "Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out their tears to God, on behalf of man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. That's who Jesus is. That's why he's our mediator. That's why he's our high priest. That's why he's our advocate, because he is our friend. And brothers and sisters, I think too many times Christians are fleers rather than forgivers. And so when we get hurt, when we just don't like how things are going anymore, we flee. And that's no friend. Friends are people who are faithful, and they're faithful even when they have to forgive. And how many times could Paul say things like this? Therefore, as the elect of God, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering and bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. When you love the people of God, they are your friends because you are willing to forgive them. Humbly, long-suffering, bearing with one another kind of forgiveness. And so Jesus would hear his critics say, he's a friend of sinners. How could a God be friend of sinners? And Jesus would say, because he's willing to forgive. And that's why we forgive one another. That last aspect of friendship is pretty hard, isn't it? So we really need this final aspect of friendship if it's going to work. And that is friendship. True friendship, like Jesus modeled, is sacrificial for one another. That's the heart of true friendship. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. In fact, thought carefully before writing these words, I dare say that if I haven't sacrificed something for you, I'm not your friend. If I have not sacrificed what I wanted to do, if I have not sacrificed my plans and my schedule, if I have not sacrificed my money and my pleasures and my comfort, if I have not sacrificed anything lately, then regardless of what I say, I'm not the friend I say I am. The mark of friendship, the expression of Christ-like friendship, is sacrifice. And unfortunately, we often calculate our friendships. We say, well, what can I get out of this? What are they going to do for me? But if we're going to be friends like Jesus, the only question we ask is, what is the need? And the only response is, I lay down my life. That's what friends do. Now, most of us are going to say, well, we love each other like that. Some madman came in and wanted to kill one of us. I'd jump in front of it and I'd take the bullet for you. There is no doubt. I'd grant that I would say something that bold about my wife. Let anything come. If it is going to be dangerous, I will step in the way for her. Pretty bold to say, isn't it? But it doesn't happen every day. Do you know what happens every day? Me having to say, Tim, you want to talk about something, but right now you're going to be quiet and you're going to listen to what your wife wants to talk about. And you want to go watch something right now, but you're going to go help your wife with what she needs right now. And Tim, you sure want to go somewhere, but you're not going to go there because that's not going to be helpful to your wife and your family. Where we lay down our life is a little bit every day. And brothers and sisters, that's how we love each other. It's where I could watch TV at night, but I know what you're going through, and so I'm going to pick up the phone, I'm going to call and ask you how you're doing. And I may have some plans of things that I want to accomplish and do, but hey, you need something, and the church is doing something. I'm there. Being a friend is being willing to die a little bit every day. John would apply this truth later on when he wrote in 1 John 3, verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." That's what friends do. They lay their lives down out of love for the people of God. So we've looked at the foundation of friendship. That's love. And we've looked at the expression of friendship, and it's quite challenging. But I want to say to you that expressing friendship in this way is the best thing that we can do. It's the benefits of loving like this are vast. And Jesus puts it like this: the benefit of this kind of friendship is abounding joy. Notice verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you." Why, Jesus? "That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus saying, if you are a friend like this, you can have a lasting joy. Notice when he said it. He said it 8 to 10 hours before he is going to be beaten as hard as he's ever been beaten in his life. And he's going to have nails driven through his hands. And he is going to have his life sucked out of him on the cross. And he says, "My joy is full." Why? Because he loved like a friend. And we love each other like Jesus loved us. There's a joy in that that no circumstance can take away. There is an abounding joy that comes to those who are friends like Jesus. But I want to remind you that that night there was one man missing who didn't hear all these great things. He pretended to be a friend of Jesus. He was there most of the time. But he left that night. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't fruitful. He wasn't sacrificial. He left that night. You know why? Because he loved things more than the Savior. He loved his money. He loved his position. He loved his fame more than he loved Jesus. And he left the room before Jesus would speak these words. He missed out on this joy. And the sad truth is that that's not just the case for Judas. That's often the case for the people of God as well. Not being a friend of Jesus is not just sad. It's dangerous. James would put it this way in James 4 and verse 4. "Do you not know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Choosing to be a friend like Jesus was our friend, it gives us abounding joy. But to choose not to be a friend like Jesus was our friend makes ourselves a friend of the world and makes ourselves an enemy of God. But Jesus has modeled for us a much better kind of friendship. In fact, one of the things I love as you read the epistles is that this word friend that we've been studying about this morning and singing about this morning, it became a common way that the church referred to each other. They would call each other friend. For example, in 3 John verse 14, John says, "I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace with you. Our friends greet you, and you greet the friends, there by name." So he called the church the friends. And brothers and sisters, That's a great term, isn't it? We're part of the family of God. And you might go back to that saying we began at the beginning with, you can't choose your family. God chooses your family for you. But you choose your friends. We get to do both. We are a part of the family of God because of what Jesus has done for us. And we are called friends with one another because of what Jesus has done for us. God has chosen both our family and our friends. I hope that this lesson will not just be information. Because this week we're doing what? We're reading to live. And so I hope our reading in God's Word today has helped us live. If you're here tonight, this morning, and you're not yet a child of God because you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you haven't repented of your sins, you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to be in Christ, to be made a part of the family of God, I hope that today you'd be willing to make that choice to be in the family of God because He died for you. But having done that, I hope we'll all make the choice to be friends as Jesus has modeled we should be. If you're subject to the gospel call today, why don't you come to the front among friends and confess your faith and your desire to be made one with Christ. If you need to do that, please come as we stand and sing.